Hallelujah. Wow. Emilolua is the one that blew him away this morning. I owe you some money. I owe you some money. Hallelujah. Just stand on your feet for a moment. Casting crowns, lifting hands, bowing down. It's all we've come to do.
Casting crowns, casting crowns, lifting hands, Lord.
Lifting hands.
Exalt you this morning. You reign on high, you reign in our lives, you reign in every situation, every circumstance. You are the one by whom all things were made and in whom all things consist or hold together. Thank you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for being our Father. We can't praise you enough. We can't exalt you enough. We can only try our best from the depth of our hearts to tell you how much you mean to us, to tell you how much we adore you. Thank you for this moment. Thank you for utterance. Thank you for your mighty hand upon those who are here, upon those who hear it now or later. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maybe first, if you project James chapter 5, verse 16, that has nothing to do with my message. but it's just coming strong to me that people wonder, why do we say it's 21 days of power? James chapter 5 verse 16 in the Amplified Version. James 5:16 in the Amplified Version. So James 5:16 talks about prayer. So why do we call it 21 days of power? He said, therefore, confess your sins to one another, your false steps, your offenses, and pray for one another that you may be healed and restored. Now, this is where I'm going to part B. It says, the heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous man, that is a believer, can accomplish much when put into action. Now, this is not the Amplified, AMPC. Don't use any of this new version Amplified. Amplified Classified. So if I say Amplified, please go for AMPC. Sometimes also we're careful these days because, believe it or not, Bible companies or publishers are being bought over by secular people. And some of those things are being changed. So we're careful these days what we do and what versions we read. Okay? So confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and pray also for one another that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. It says, what the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power. Can I hear you say tremendous power? He said it makes tremendous power available, which is dynamic in his walking. Okay, so that's why we call it the 21 days of power. When you have continuous heartfelt prayer for 21 days, you are making tremendous power available that is dynamic in its working. Amen. Dynamic means that it can go into the past and fix things. It can come in the present and fix things. It can go into the future and fix things. Hallelujah. So it's dynamic. It's not static. As you are praying it and releasing that power, it's going wherever it needs to go to fix the things that need to be fixed. Amen. And of course, definitely we believe God that is going ahead of us. Can I have an amen? And that by the time you enter 2023, he has things laid out for you that you will step into according to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Amen? Which says what? Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. He said, but these things have been revealed to us by the Spirit of God. For no man knows the things of a man but the Spirit of a man. And no man knows the things of God but the Spirit of God. And he has revealed them to us. And these things which he has revealed to us, speak not with words of human wisdom or words that human wisdom teaches, but words which the Holy Ghost teaches. So we pray them out in other tongues. Can I have an amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 11. So it's good to be back again. A second time. Amen. Hallelujah. But God has really been good, and God has blown my fuse. In the last 2 weeks, God has blown my fuse. You know, everything has been super, super successful. And it's just been amazing. Amen. And some of the things that we need to deal with are the things I'll be talking about, you know, today. God's been dealing with me on faith. But even going forward into Power Convention, you know, where we're talking about living naturally in the supernatural, we'll be talking about some of those things that God wants to take. The supernatural is not for a church service alone. Can I have an amen? The supernatural is for everyday life. Hallelujah. So we need to take it out of that scope of church services and carry it into our everyday lives and see God move every day in every single thing that we do. Hallelujah. That's where God belongs. God, that's where God wants to manifest. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. So Mark chapter 11, and I'm going to read quite a bit of that from verse 12. It says, now the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he will find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And his disciples heard it. So they came to Jerusalem. Then Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple. and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold those. And he would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. Then he taught, saying to them, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations,' but you have made it a den of thieves?" And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him. It's not picking up loudly. That's better. For they heard him. Okay, I take that again. It says in verse 18, "And the scribes and the Pharisees heard it and thought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his teaching. When evening had come, he went out of the city. Now, in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, 'Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away.' So Jesus answered and said to them, 'Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them.'" Amen. So as we started the year, actually, I felt that one of the key things God began to drive down my heart was the fact that faith was not difficult. I'm speaking this morning on how faith works. Okay, how faith works. I felt God was beginning to try to show me and to get a message across to me that faith is not difficult. You know, to live a life of faith, to operate in faith, to live by faith is not a difficult thing. And that's why he says in Romans chapter 4, verse 16, he said, "Now it is by faith so that," it is by faith so that it might be by grace. "So that in the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed." Okay? That means that in simplified version, what that is saying is that God wanted to give a promise to everybody. He wanted to ensure that everybody received something. Okay? God wants to give something to everybody. And in order to make sure that every single one of us that he wants us to receive it will be able to receive it, he ensured that that thing can be received by faith. Are you getting what I'm saying? So he ensured that in order to make sure that he can give it to all of us and all of us can actually take hold of it, God made it that the mechanism of receiving it is by faith. If he put any other mechanism in place, it might be too difficult. I hope you are following me. So he wanted to make it very simple, and the simplest he could do was to say, "This will be received by faith." Now, I started from that because many people think that faith is like arithmetic or mathematics. You know, faith is very difficult. Faith is something I can't cope with. It's the same way that the disciples were saying to Jesus one day, and they said, "Master, increase our faith." Because they were thinking, you know, if only we had the faith you had, if only we had the quantity you had. And how many people have ever had people say that before? I say, I wish if I just had faith like that person, if I only had more faith. How many people have ever said that yourselves? Now, the point is this: God is saying to you that it's simpler than you think. You know, when they said to him, Matthew 17, is it? When they said to him, "Master, increase our faith," you know what his answer was? He said, "If you have faith like a mustard seed." For a long time, I used to read it and I didn't see the correlation. Because they were asking him, "Increase our faith. We need more faith." And there are many people who are praying prayer points. Are we? Let us pray this morning that our Father will increase our faith. Oh, yeah. Let us pray. Let us pray. In Jesus' name, increase my faith. Increase my faith. Not every prayer is worthwhile. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And that's not me trying to run anybody down. Okay? Not every prayer is worthwhile. Sometimes you are just wasting time. Why would you be wasting time? You'll be wasting time if you are asking me for something that I've already given you. Isn't it? So that's not an insult. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? If you came to me and you are asking me, I've given you, I gave him now the pen. There he is. And then he comes to me again. He says, give me your pen. What am I supposed to do? Eh? Go and borrow one pen. Go and buy a new pen. What am I going to do? I'm just going to be looking at him and perhaps with pity. That I've given him the pen. I've given him the pen. But he stays there for a long time and he keeps saying, give me the pen. 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 I will not eat tomorrow. If you don't give me the pen, I'll be looking at him and say, my show. You understand what I'm saying? That prayer is not doing any good. So there are things we don't pray for. You simply receive what has been given. So faith is one of those dimensions where many people get confused and think that it's something very difficult. So I didn't see the correlation when they prayed and he said, increase our faith. All he said to them was, if you have faith like a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and he shall do so. So why would he not increase the faith first and then tell them what the faith will do? Because he has given them the faith. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Romans chapter 12 verse 3. He says he has given to every man a measure of faith. So he's not going to give you what he has given you already. And to operate in that faith is not difficult. Hallelujah. So I started to read the whole story this time around because I'm sure many of us are used to Mark 11 from verse 22 to 24, you know, where he started off and he said, where he then told them, have faith in God, and then he talks about if you say to this mountain, and then he talks about prayer, okay? I'm sure many of us are very used to those verses and perhaps can quote them. But I read the whole context in order to show you that what happened was an accidental teaching. Do you understand what I'm saying? What I'm trying to say is that he didn't plan to do a teaching on faith. Jesus didn't gather them and say, okay, today's lesson is on faith. Or I'm going to teach you on have the God kind of faith. He wasn't trying to teach anything. It was just something that came about because something happened. And that's what really reveals to us how the faith really works. Are you with me? That's why I read the whole story, the background story, which is that he was going. And did you know that Jesus did not have any intention of causing a fig tree? Are you with me? He wasn't going, he didn't wake up and say, ha, today, fig tree. I will cause fig tree today. Today, I will cause a fig tree on the way. I will cause a fig tree. By God's grace, I will cause a fig tree. You know, he was just going. And the Bible says they were off to Bethany, and on the way he was hungry. Just a normal event. Then he turns, and that's the other one that confuses people, isn't it? That why would you cause a fig tree? He turns, he looks at the fig tree, but those who know have told us that the reason is that if you see leaf on the tree, normally on a fig tree, normally he should have fruit at that time, okay? So if there was leaf, it's an indication that there was fruit. So he was going and he saw the fig tree. He saw leaves on the fig tree. And he went there eagerly. You know that, let me go and get some fruit to eat. And then he got there and he did not find any fruit. Okay? Now, if you are reading the old King James, which I like, and New King James as well, the Bible says that in response, in the old King James says he answered and said. And the way I always see that is that it's like the circumstances of life. He went there with expectation. He thought, I'm going to get fruit. My hunger will be satisfied. And then he got there and there was disappointment. Yeah, and if you are answering or you reply something, it means the thing said something to you. So it's like the tree was saying, there'll be no fruit for you. You will still be hungry. The circumstances of life, you are going with expectation. And he said, you thought you were going to have it by now. Boo, you are not going to have it.
Yeah, he thought you'd be married by now. Yeah, you won't be married. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And he then answered. So this was a spontaneous event. Are you with me? The first key thing about how faith works is that it's what you have on the inside in the spontaneous events of life that come from your deep inside. What comes out of you that is already deep down on the inside of you is the source of your faith. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Faith, you know, it's good to have a faith project. You know, to have a faith project and say, I'm believing God that by next year I'll buy my car. That's my faith project. How many people have ever heard that said before? That's my faith project. That's not bad. But in most instances in life, you won't have the time to have a faith project. Life will ask you questions. And you'll have to respond by faith. And how is that possible? It's based on what is already on your inside. Are you hearing me? The connection is what is already on your inside. That's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, it said, for we walk by faith and not by sight. The word walk means we have our manner of life by faith. That probably will be one of my texts on Thursday. You know, our manner of life, meaning that our regular lifestyle is a lifestyle of faith. We do everything, we walk by faith. When I was in secondary school, we had a gentleman who used to bounce. I don't know if people still bounce now. You know, they don't bounce anymore. Because I don't hear anybody talking about bounce. I haven't heard my children say somebody was bouncing. But we used to talk about people who bounced, you know. And that guy used to bounce. He used to bounce. When he walks, he used to bounce. So I thought he was proud because he used to bounce. You know, until one day when I had close contact with him and close for a period of time. And I started repenting before God. You know, because of his bounce, I had classified him as a proud person. But now that we were in close contact for about a few weeks, I saw that he was a very nice, simple guy, down-to-earth guy. And I said, I didn't tell him more, but I was repenting before God. I said, God forgive me, oh God. You know, but he was a very nice guy. Now, when the Bible says that we walk by faith, it's not talking about how we bounce. Are you still there? It's talking about how you do everything that you do, how you do everything. How do you get the food you get? How do you prepare the food you prepare? I remember hearing a story, you know, my pastor told of somebody in their church who got married. You know, when you marry, sometimes you marry a man who's been a bachelor for a long time and who has become a super cook. You know, the man can do anything. He can make ogbono. He can make begiri. He can make fried rice with orisirisi. He can do ikokore. He can do, you understand? So, they got married, and this lady would prepare food, and everything she prepared, the man would criticize, because he can cook very well. You understand? So, you know, there are some people that they can't make anything. If they try to boil water, they will burn it. So, if you fry egg for them, they are so good, because they can't do anything, you understand? But this one now can cook everything. So, everything she will make, it was the lady that gave the testimony in the church. Everything she'll make, this guy will criticize it. The salt was not exactly enough. You shouldn't have used just a little Maggi here. This one, you should have put the pepper first before the... So he said, oh God, what problem is this one now? This guy, he cannot be satisfied with anything. And then she switched to faith. And said, God, you will have to help me with this guy. You will have to help me to cook. And so every time she will cook, she will pray. And then she will cook the food and put it down. And say, what? This thing is sweet. How did you make this kind of food? That's what turned it around. Are you there? We walk by faith and not by sight. There's nothing that is too small. There's nothing that is too big. Your faith ought to be applied spontaneously. So the first thing to note is that Jesus had no plan for the fig tree when he woke up that morning. It was just an event on the way. Are you hearing me? Just an event on the way. Can I hear you say an event on the way? There are many stories I can tell you. But one of the ones I remembered was some years ago. I had been hosting meetings in Abuja. I had a lot of people, international guests and all that. And I was hosting meetings all week in Abuja. And I was trying to plan because on Sunday I needed to be in church. I just knew I had to be back in church for Sunday morning service in Lagos. So I said to them, and I have meetings till Saturday evening. So I said to them at the office, I said, book me the last flight out of Abuja. Now, one of the things we generally don't do is book, you know, late flights or anything. We generally don't do it because of the delays, the irregularity, you know, and all of that. So we don't do it. And if then you then go and get on a last flight at night, which is around 9 o'clock or something, you may not end up in Lagos until 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. So once I said, book me the last flight out of Abuja, manager said, Dr. Dubanjo, are you sure? I said, yes, I need to be back in Lagos. I want to be in church on Sunday morning. He said, last flight. He said, are you sure I should book this flight? I said, yes, book the flight. He said, you know they can delay those flights. Those flights are almost always delayed. God knows when you enter Lagos and all of that. I said, book that last flight. I said, it will not be delayed. We walk by faith and not by sight. I said, book that last flight. It will not be delayed. He asked me several times, are you sure? I said, book the flight. It will not be delayed. I remembered when we finished the meeting on Saturday, you know, evening, I greeted everybody. All the guests were still there. They won't go until the next day. I just greeted all of them. I'm off to Lagos. Safe journey, blah, blah, blah. See you all some other time. I went off to the airport and then I ran, you know, sat there. 9-something was the flight. And at about, is it 8:30 or 9, they called us to board. And as we were boarding, what struck me was that as we were boarding, the guy who was at the door, the last door we exit the building from to go to the plane, began to laugh. He was just laughing. So I said, okay, why are you laughing like this now? He said, many people will miss this flight too because it's always late and they thought that it will be late again today. So they have not arrived here, but they will miss this flight. So I realized that what happened was not an accident. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That even the guy standing there said, the flight is always late. He said, ah, but they will miss this one. Are you still with me? We walk by faith and not by sight. So note that first thing is that he didn't plan it. Are you hearing me? The second thing is that Jesus spoke it confidently from his heart. He spoke confidently. The Bible says when he said and he gave that command, nobody would hear from you again from today, forever. They heard him. He wasn't planning to demonstrate or display or do anything to anybody. But the way he reacted showed, like I said earlier, that there was something on the inside that sprung forth. The best times that your faith will operate the most are the times when it operates as a reflex action, as we call it in medicine. Reflex action is an action that doesn't go to your brain. Are you hearing me? You know, the normal action is that you think about it. I want to collect my pen back. I thought about it, so I want to collect my pen back. So when I did that now, I thought about something, and I took an action. But if I kicked him, or if I tried to kick him, he does this. He didn't think about doing this. He just reacted to what I did. And what he's going to do, if I try to hit him, depends on what is already on his inside. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So when I was in secondary school, I used to practice a lot of martial arts. You know, that's all the Japandos and all of those things. So I used to practice all those things a lot. And I had very good reflexes. So if you punch, I can punch you almost 3 times before you can block it. Because I was that fast. I had very good reflexes. And because I practice it, that it is a part of me. Do you understand what I'm saying? So one day I remember, in fact twice, one day it was in the house and you play pranks on people. I still play pranks on people, you know, every now and then. But where I was coming in the dark, there was no light. So I was coming down the stairs and I was going to turn a corner in the house and somebody was waiting there to startle me. And when I turned the corner and he said, hey! There was fear. You understand? Reflex action, something jumps in your heart. But as it jumped in my heart, the next thing I did was I moved back and I kicked. I said, I didn't plan to kick, you understand? But what is inside me is what came out. Is that something attacks you, you move back, you strike. So I just struck. I just screamed, Somebody else tried it once, so that was in school. And I was going to sit down. What do you call that place under the boys' dormitory? In Yes, that the boys told me was under the, that's where we have our assembly. No, we went to the same school, you should know by now. So I was going to sit down, and somebody tried to, you know, when they pulled the chair from behind you. Unknown to him, again, it's some of those things you do with training. You have eyes at the back of your head. You know, so as I tried to sit, and he pulled the thing, I just swung. And the guy screamed. He didn't expect that somebody could react that way. Now, again, if you startle somebody else, they might go, yeah! Why? Because that's what is inside them. Are you getting me? Faith depends on what you have put on your inside. Jesus didn't just speak to demonstrate to them. He spoke out of who he knew himself to be. He spoke out of the conviction of his own heart. Now go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let me show you something. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I say that because very often, which is not a bad idea. I think yesterday we still had some of that and I loved it. You know, we had declarations, isn't it? At the end of the prayer. Yeah, and some, well, I was listening in quietly and I'm just enjoying the prayers. Amen. And it's great to do that. It's great to have the faith confessions and to confess some of those things like that. But again, faith doesn't just work because you said it. It works because there's a connection between your heart and your mouth. Are you with me? If everything I just said were to happen, then God help us. If everything you say were just to happen just like that, God help you. How many times have you said Muku? And you are still here. You understand what I'm saying? So if every single thing you said just happened like that, then you are in trouble. And I will be in trouble. But there has to be a connection between my heart and my mouth. I'm saying it because it comes out of my heart. That's when he releases power and something happens. And that is both positive and negative. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So this tells us clearly how that works. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 13. It says, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. So it's saying the spirit of faith is what? Is demonstrable in the fact that what you believe is what you say. He said, we also believe and therefore speak. We also, because we have the same spirit of faith, we believe and therefore. Can I hear you say therefore? So our speaking is not just speaking. Our speaking is therefore. Is there because of something. Our speaking is because of what we have already placed in our heart when nothing was happening. Are you still there? So all the Bible reading you are reading every day, that's the key. All the meditation you are doing every day, that's the key to your faith. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And that follow devotion, do this, read two chapters, read three chapters, that is the key. I didn't feel anything. It's still the key. Because as you continue to do that, you are burying something in your heart. That something is going to spring forth when you face the circumstances that are relevant. Are you with me? He said in John chapter 8, verse 32 is what is common. He says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Okay? But I don't like to refer to John 8, 32 really anymore without John 8, 31. John 8, 31 says, if you continue in my words, then you'll be my disciples indeed. And verse 32 begins what? With a conjunction. It says, and you shall know the truth. So there's no knowing the truth. There's no, how do you call it? Okay, let's put it in Bible terms for those who are Bible college students. There is no rhema without the logos. People say rhema is the spoken word of God. What God says to you when it comes alive and God is speaking out of those Bible pages, that's when it has power. It is the rhema that has power, but you will not get rhema without the logos. which is the written word of God. He said it's when you continue in that word that you will know the truth. That's when the truth becomes revealed. That's when he begins to speak to you out of that written word. That's the same thing that Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 was trying to teach when he says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I like a translation that says faith comes by hearing the message. And the message is from the word of God. Meaning that when he speaks, he will only speak out of that written word. So you need to spend time in that written word. He said, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not say anything except that which I have said. He said, he will take of me and he will magnify to you. He says, the things I have said are the things he will remind you of. So everything he said about that ministry of the Holy Ghost speaking to you, he said, everything is related to the ministry of the word. In the beginning was the word was word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and it became flesh. He said, everything the Holy Ghost will do is related to the ministry of the word. Hallelujah. 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 Years ago, we were in the university. And we were in class. We had just done a class. I don't remember which one it was. It was an anatomy class. And at the end of it, the man just announced and said, next week, Monday, you are going to have a test. The Son of God was not ready. And could not be ready by next week Monday. So that announcement was bad news. You know, and it was just brewing inside of me. So as we stepped out of the hall, of the lecture hall, I just stood out there. I wasn't conscious of who was beside me, who was behind me or anything. And I said, that test is canceled. And they heard me. They heard me. Later that day, the government announced a public holiday for that Monday. It was an election something period. And so they announced and said people should go and spend that time registering and blah, blah, blah. That, therefore, they declare next week Monday public holiday. So it was those who heard me that said, ah, you said it too. Are you with me? Remember we're talking about how faith works. Are you still there? Number three, okay, is that the Bible says, and I'm not taking us back, I'm trying to keep to time today. So, but I hope you can see everything in what we read in Mark chapter 11. Number three is that the Bible says when they were coming back, which ties to what we had said earlier. When Jesus said it, as far as he was concerned, it was done. So when they were coming back, so I read all of that, including them entering Jerusalem and doing whatever in Jerusalem, just to show you that it was a regular, normal day for him. Okay? And throughout the time they were in Jerusalem and he was chasing people out of the temple, he wasn't thinking or talking about the fig tree. Fig tree was a done deal. He has finished that, he has moved on. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And then the next morning, they were going back, he wasn't looking for the fig tree. It was Peter who looked up. That's the tree. Yeah? Master, the tree you cursed has dried up. Jesus didn't look for the tree. It was Peter that looked. You know, it was Peter that looked and said, that's the tree. Yeah? Master, the tree you cursed has dried up. And the Bible says he did what? He dried up from the roots. The problem for us in faith is our sight. We get confused with sight. And unfortunately, when you operate in faith, you can't operate by sight at the same time. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because what you are believing God for may not be visible yet. But the fact that it is not visible doesn't mean that nothing is happening. Did you get that? The fact that I can't see something now doesn't mean that nothing is happening. Because if it's drying up from the roots, if Jesus stood there and cursed it, when you say, well, no man will eat fruit from you ever again, it needs to dry from the roots. Not just the leaves will fall and then next season it will bud again. You understand? The root means it's dead. But the Bible says it started to dry up from that root, which is really underground. And very often, so the moment he caused it, it began to dry. But it was from the root, which nobody could see. Are you getting what I'm saying? The tree still looked the same. The leaves still looked the same. But it was drying from under the ground. When you operate by faith, the things are changing from under the ground, where you can't easily see what is going on. But don't let that change your faith confession. Are you hearing me? Don't let that change your faith. Don't let that defeat your faith. The fact that you can't see it doesn't mean it's not happening already. It just means it's not fully manifest yet. Are you still there? So, having demonstrated that, Jesus now began to teach them. So, in verse 22, he then told them, have the God kind of faith. Meaning, what you saw. So, when they say, look at it, blah, blah, blah. He then began to explain to them how faith works. Okay? And he then said to them, this is what you call what? The God kind of faith. You should also have the God kind of faith. The God kind of faith is something you live by. Faith is not just in projects, but faith is a lifestyle. Can I hear you say faith is a lifestyle? Faith is born out of what is in your heart, and faith is voice activated. So he said, have a God kind of faith. And how do you do that? He said, if you say to this mountain, be thou cast out, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart, but you believe that whatsoever you say shall come to pass, then it shall be according to what you say. Are you hearing me? Number one is what? Believe. Believe. What's in your heart? What do you really believe? What do you really believe? How do I know what I believe? I know what I believe by what I do. I know what I believe by how I behave. James chapter 2 said, look, you do believe that there is Christ. He said even the demons believe and tremble. So meaning that just believing like that to say, I believe God can do it. The demons believe God can do it too. But what step have they not taken? They've not taken any. He said faith without works is dead. That's what the context of all of those statements. What's he saying? He's saying that faith has to have corresponding action. The word works there means corresponding action. Faith must have corresponding action. He said, therefore, somebody said to me, I will show you my faith and I'll show you my works. He said, but I will show you my faith by what I do. They are not two separate things. They must be the same. The actions that I take will reveal them. And the very first action that is a corresponding action to what is in my heart is what I say. Are you hearing me? The late Kennedy again said, Jesus appeared to him and said to him, how many times does say appear in Mark 11:23? He said, 3 times. He said, how many times does the word believe appear? He said, once. He said, you'll have to teach 3 times as much about speaking than you'll have to do about believing. Because most people believe. God can do it. They believe. He said, but they speak wrong. He said, my people don't have as much problems with the believing as they do with the speaking. Are you there? Listen, if you are going to be and live the lifestyle of faith the most, you must pay attention to your words. Can I hear you say words? Faith is what? Voice activated. Whether by a faith command, whether by prayer, whether by faith confessions, faith is voice activated. What you say is going to determine what you see. And we've gone through all of what we've gone through this morning in order to show you that that is best seen when you are not trying to act for us. When you are not trying to show us how faith works and you are trying to make a confession in church, but when you are doing it unconsciously. When you are doing it out there in the marketplace, out there on the streets, what are the words that are coming out of your mouth? Ah, things are hard, oh. Ah, I couldn't even think I can afford anything. Ah, this Christmas now, wow, man, go so far. You know, when you are saying all of those things, that is the real faith that you have. Are you hearing me? But when you begin to change what is on the inside and then begin to pay attention to what comes out in your words, then it works. Are you with me? Then it works. You know, I mean, last week, I saw him, I wasn't lying. I was supposed to be here for School of Miracles. Because yeah, I know he announced specifically, that I was taking School of Miracles and I was supposed to be here. I traveled earlier in the week, you know, so I was in Kenya earlier in the week. I was supposed to come back that day and minister that day and then travel at the weekend, you know, actually initially on Saturday, but then on Friday and travel again. So as I got off to the airport very early in the morning on Thursday morning and I arrived there, they said, look, the flight has been canceled. You know, I'll fly from Kenya to Rwanda, then Rwanda connect to Lagos. And the guy said, look, the flight has been canceled. So, of course, everybody's disappointed, upset, and all of that. You know, why would you not even send us a message? Blah, 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 blah. Maybe we would even have stayed. We woke up early in the morning, 3 a.m., 2 a.m., to come to the airport. Now you're telling us it has been canceled. If you sent us a message, we would have slept. You know, and all that. So, anyway, the guy tried to, he did very well. He was quite professional, I must say. And he tried to calm everybody down, you know, and then told us, look, I can put you, in fact, he tried to get me on another airline, which I think later even became a big problem for me. So he tried to get me on another airline. It didn't work out eventually. And I was with two other people. I was my boss and somebody else. And he said, look, they even said, look, maybe you just go, leave us. You go because you are traveling again. You know, so you go and find your way. They even said, maybe you should fly from here and go to South Africa. Don't go to Lagos. Just go straight. I said, no. So we stayed there. And the guy says, oh, I'll put you on another flight for 11 o'clock. You get to Rwanda 11, but you would have missed the Lagos flight. So you sleep there and you go on Friday. There was another group of people, blah, blah, everybody was complaining. Then after a while, they said, no, somebody else got email that says flight at 6 o'clock. You know, that day that you are lying to us. The flight that you say is 11 will not go until 6 p.m. You know, then the guy says, no, I checked. Then he turns around again and he says, no, the flight will go at 1 p.m. They say, you see now, somebody got email that says 6. You said 11. Now you have turned it to 1. Then the guy says, okay. Then he calls the office in Rwanda. Then he says, okay, I can confirm to you it's 2 p.m. They say, okay, this thing is changing like the wind, you know. That it looks like you are not telling us something. Something is very wrong and you are not telling us. Blah, blah. Anyway, I asked the guy, I said, we'll take you to a hotel first. Then we'll bring you back at 2 p.m. So I said, we'll go. They said, this 2 p.m. I said, we are going at 2 p.m. Let's go. So we went there. Noon, they brought us out of the hotel. Let's go to the airport for it and all that. They even had one of their pilots in the place with us who also came out. And everybody was, you know, they were talking. I'm talking about your words. I'm talking. I said, no, this guy is like lying. Maybe it won't fly at 2. I said, keep quiet. 2 p.m. We are going to Rwanda. Then I asked the pilot who was there, and I said, look, hey, sir, I mean, what time is the flight? The guy said, well, I'm told, he's a white guy. I said, I'm told it's 2 p.m., but don't quote me. I can't guarantee anything. So they said, you hear? I said, my friend, keep quiet. 2 p.m. The man has come down to join us to go to the airport. I said, we are all flying at 2 p.m. Don't say anything else. So we got there, and indeed we flew at 2 p.m. And then everybody, maybe tomorrow. So I said, keep quiet. We say 2 p.m. So when we were boarding, I said, did I not tell you? 2 p.m. is 2 p.m. We are flying. Now I've switched to faith. I'm not talking nonsense with all of you. You know, we are flying at 2 p.m. I said, and tomorrow morning we are flying on time. And that's exactly what happened. My point is, I reeled all of them in to say, shh, you can't say anything else beside me. 2 p.m., 2 p.m. When you want to say, I say, shh, 2 p.m. Because faith is what? Voice activated. When you start saying, they say, no, we won't fly on this beer. Then it becomes this beer. And they say, you see, we told you. No, you made it happen. Have you heard people say, this faith thing doesn't work for me? You just confirm that it works. Have you? This confession never works for me. You just confirm that it works.
Me, I never, the door is believe God, it never works for me. It is working. Even for you, we just know why it's not working. Are you hearing me? So if you stay and you listen to somebody well enough, you will know why they are as they are. You will know why the things are happening to them that happened to them. Are you hearing me? You know, and in fact, by the time I was saying that, my boss, pastor, I say, oh, yeah, we just go with what he said. You know, because they know when I switch, I switch. Years ago, I traveled with somebody else, and the man was looking at it. We're going somewhere in Italy. The man was looking at this thing, say, this airline, they are very bad. Very bad. They never deliver your luggage. You get there, your bag will not arrive. I said, sir, the bag will arrive. He said, you see, we're even going to change plane in this place. If we have less than an hour in that place, there's no way. There's a bad airline, and then you change for less than an hour to another plane, they will never make it. I said, sir, you are with me. The bags will arrive. You will make it. And the bags arrived. I said, the bags are here. I said, I told you, sir, that the bags will arrive. Are you still with me? Now, if you look at Mark 11:23, and let me try to wrap it up there. Mark 11:23 and 24. So if you see there, you see that in 23, that's talking about a faith command. So it talks about the two ways, primary ways, by which you will operate your faith. Okay? Let me try to simplify it. Now, what I found about how faith works and the simplicity of faith is that believe God's word. What do you believe? Remember, we're talking about what is in your heart. What do you believe? What in God's word have you put in your heart and you believe it accordingly? What is the scripture that you are standing on? And then the next step is, how do you activate that scripture? And you activate it by speaking. Romans chapter 10 talks about the fact that with the heart man believes unto righteousness. It says, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So your faith must be spoken. Are you hearing me? Your faith must be uttered in words. So in Mark 11:23, it says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. So verse 23 is talking about something that is not prayer. Verse 23 is talking about the words. Faith command. The words. Faith confession. What are the things that you say? So you give a faith command. So sometimes it's not about praying. There are issues you don't pray about, but you just give a faith command. Amen? And when you give a faith command, for instance, people have gone to pray for the sick. And they say, Lord, in your mercy. Lord, if it be your will. Lord, you don't pray if it be your will over that, because we know his will. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Except you can tell me that God has said something otherwise to you, specifically. In that situation. I don't want to complicate things for you. But you know, one of the things, for instance, just to give you a little example, one of the things that happened with that missed flight was, it was after I started thinking to myself, I think you told me. You know, because it just came to me. I thought earlier on, a few weeks before then, I would have gone to Rwanda. I was going to see Dr. Molulu Akinjo and all that. And that didn't work out. So, just somewhere along the line, one day in Kenya, I just sat there and I was looking at the return flight. And I thought to myself, you should stop in Rwanda and see him. And I thought, no. I'm traveling right after. I can't do that. I need to be in church that day. I can't, I just threw it away. So it's after all of those things happened, because when I then slept there, we had dinner together and all that. So after I said to myself, God, I think I should have spent more time praying. Maybe you wanted to show me and tell me that I needed you to stop in this place. So I would have known. I wouldn't be caught by surprise that the flight was. I would just have known that this is what it was. Okay? That is the will of God. Are you still there? Anyway. So there's a faith command That's verse 23. And there's a faith confession. That's verse 23. But if you look at verse 24, that is the prayer. And it says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them and you will have them. The only thing I want you to see is that verse 24 begins with the word therefore. Meaning that your prayers are not going to come to pass except your confessions are right and stay right. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So he talked about faith command and faith confessions in verse 23. Then he says, therefore, whatever you desire when you pray, believe you receive, and you shall have them. Meaning that if you keep your confessions right, your prayers will always be answered. You will always receive what you ask for in prayer. So after you have prayed, you don't go and start canceling your prayer with wrong confessions. Are you hearing me? Every time the thoughts about the things that you have prayed about come to you, just thank God for answers to prayers. Give him thanks that God has answered the prayer when you prayed. It doesn't matter what you see or don't see, because it's drying from the root. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So how does faith work? Believe. Put the word in your heart and believe. And keep your confession straight. In line with what you believe. And your faith will produce over time. Let's stand on our feet. Just take a moment and talk to God. Somebody said if you prayed 7 times about something before you received the answer, it says 6 times were in unbelief. Meaning if you ask God for something 7 times the same way before you got the answer, it says 6 times were in unbelief. What's he saying? He's saying if you ask him, like he says, whatever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them when? Now. And you shall have it. You shall have it means that there is a transition of time between my receiving it now in the place of prayer and my having it in my hands. There's a transition of time. That's what it implies. But he's saying if I keep my confession straight in that transition period, I will surely have it in my hands. So take a moment and just thank God for the things you've been praying for. Yeah, just thank him for the things you prayed for. Give him thanks. There are specific things you prayed for this year. Specific things you prayed for this year. That it looks like, the year is almost gone. Don't fret about them. Give him thanks for them. Believe he heard you when you prayed. If you have doubt in your heart and you believe, well, I'm not even sure the prayer I pray. Pray it again now. But this time around, believe that you receive now and begin to give him thanks from henceforth. As I prayed this morning, 2 people came to mind. One person is like your eyesight degenerated a lot just in the last couple of weeks. It's almost like a cloudy vision. Cloudy vision. Got you worried. Second person is like a depressive spirit. Strangely, it wasn't about you, but it was about somebody else. It's like being worried for somebody, and you were just terribly weighed down. I believe God's healing power is available this morning, pouring out on people. If that's you that I spoke about, any of those 2 categories, just lift your hand. More than 2 people. Okay, let's come quickly. Come quickly. Father, thank you. Thank you. There's a reason. Bible says the anointing breaks the yoke. Breaks the yoke. Just right where you are. Trust him that his power comes upon you. just breaks that thing off you. Breaks that thing off you, causes a healing and a cure. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, just felt that flow right through you. Yeah. It's broken. Broken by the power of God. Yeah, getting stronger. Stronger. Thank you, Holy Ghost. 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 Yeah, so strong, so strong, so strong. So strong. That unction is so strong, so strong. So strong, so strong, so strong. Thank you. Broken by the power of God and in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Anybody, 22,000, almost like a need. Is that an exact amount? 22,000. Yeah, you have it. You have it. You have it. You have it. Ministering spirits are sent forth to minister on behalf of the saints, and they have been released to get it. You have it. So only thank God for it from now. Thank God for it from now. You have it. You have it. Father, we give you praise. Thank you. Thank you. Let's give you praise this morning. Let's appreciate you. Exalt him. Exalt him. Exalt him. Exalt him. Thank him for his word. If you have any other need, you are sick in your body, or or whatever, just put your hand where that is now. Just put your hand where that is. Don't say, mine was in court. Actually, sometimes I feel it talk, almost like God say, don't go, don't leave it yet, because there are other needs. And that means already for me, that's an assurance that the needs are met. So Father, thank you for your power. Power. If you are doing that, put your right hand in your hand so I know who I'm praying for. Thank you, Lord. And as you are there, please be expectant. Be expectant. God doesn't move just by the laying on of hands. It's only one way. That's only one way by which he does what he does. There are many ways. So right where you are, the power of God comes upon you. Right where you are, the power of God comes upon you. Upon you in the name of Jesus. Breaks every sickness, every disease, broken by the power of God. And you are made every bit whole, from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Sickness is banished. Weakness is destroyed. Somebody just feel like a warm fluid. You just feel like a warm fluid flow right through you. That's the power of God. Thank you, Lord. Even online, thank you for healings, miracles, signs and wonders. Somebody's irregular heartbeat just got reset. It's a sign of a heart condition, but it stops now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we give you praise this morning. And if you need to make Jesus the Lord of your life, either the first time or you are backsliding, restored to him, is only a prayer away. Thank God, God is only a prayer away from us. So if you are like that, watching here, put your hand on your chest and just pray. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I give my life to you. I know you died for my sins, that I might have peace with God. I believe you are my Savior, and from today I make you my Lord. Thank you, Lord. You said everyone that calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Thank you, Lord, because everyone that prays that prayer is saved, restored in the name of Jesus. We give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name.